1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the great resurrection chapter of the Bible. It was written to a church that had some members who denied the great doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. There were Christians in the city of Corinth who said that there was no such thing as life after death. So Paul proves to them once again that Jesus rose from the dead. He shows them how absurd it was for them to deny the resurrection, and then he explains in great detail. As a matter of fact, in greater detail than we find anywhere else in the Bible, the nature of the resurrection body. And Paul shows that there is a great difference between the body that we live in now, which is a physical body that is made of the dust of the ground, and the resurrection body, which he says is not a physical body, but a spiritual body, a body that cannot decay, a body that will never die. Now, that is the body, he says, to these Christians that awaits them in heaven, and they will receive that resurrection body on the resurrection day. So we pick up in verse 45 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in this passage, verse 45, Paul said, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." Now, of course, he's going back to the creation of Adam. He's going back to Genesis 2, verse 7, where the Bible says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So man became a living being. God gave him physical life. That's the point of that verse. So Adam was given a physical body and physical life. He is the first man, Adam. And notice that the Bible refers to Adam as the first man. He was the first man, the first human being that was created. And the Bible says then that the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The last Adam here refers to Jesus Christ. Why is Jesus called Adam here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45? Because Adam was a type of Jesus Christ. That means that he represented Jesus, that he was a foreshadow of Jesus. And he was a type of Jesus in the sense that he was a physical being and Jesus was a life-giving spirit. Because in the last part of the verse, the Bible says the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That's not talking about Jesus' soul or his spirit, because the idea of a quickening spirit literally means that he is a life-giving spirit, that he gives life. And the idea, of course, is that he gives life especially at the resurrection day, that he's going to bring back to life those who are dead. So this goes back to what he's already said in verse 21 and 22 of this chapter. If you look back at verse 21 and 22, he said, "For since by man came death," that is by Adam, "by man came also the resurrection of the dead," that is by Jesus Christ. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So when you look at Adam, you're looking at physical life and physical death. When you look at Jesus Christ, then, you're looking at the one who's going to give life at the resurrection day. That's what the Bible means when it says that he is a quickening spirit. He is a life-giving spirit. God gave life to Adam when he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And so the Bible says that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. But Jesus was not made a living soul. Jesus gives life, and especially, as we said, at the resurrection. In verse 46, Paul continues to contrast your physical body with the resurrection body. Let's look at what he says. In verse 46, Paul said, "Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual." Now again, he's still talking about Adam and Jesus. And we know that because in the very next verse, verse 47, he says, "The first man is of the earth," earthy. Who's the first man that he's talking about here? Well, he's talking about Adam. Now, he's not denying that Adam had a soul. He's not denying that Adam had a spirit that lives on forever. He's simply making the contrast between the creation of Adam and the Lord himself. So he says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord, that is Jesus, from heaven. And so in verse 48 and 49, here's what he says about that contrast. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. We have a physical body. Now we have a soul as we live in this physical body, but we are housed in a physical body right now at this point, and we will be until death comes and death releases our spirit. The Bible says then, "And as is the heavenly," that is Jesus Christ being a pure spirit being now, he doesn't have the physical body that he had when he was on the earth, "such are they also that are heavenly," that is those who live in this pure spirit body. Right now, we are dual beings in our nature. And that simply means that we are body, that is physical body, and spirit, which is immaterial. It has no physical properties. You can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't touch it, and so forth. But we are composed of body and soul, or you could say body and spirit. But the Bible shows that when death comes and the resurrection day arrives, we will receive a new body, and that new body will not be flesh and blood. It will not be made of the dust of the ground. It will be a pure spirit body. He goes on to describe this in verse 49 and says, "And as we have borne the image of the earthy," that is, we are living in an earthly body, a body that is literally from the earth, from the dust of the earth. But he says, just as we live in this physical, earthly body right now, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That is, that we will be like Jesus in that sense, because the Bible says we shall be like him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. The Bible says also that when Jesus comes again, he will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Philippians 3, verse 21. Paul goes on to say in verse 50, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." So Paul says, first of all, that flesh and blood, that is your physical body, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And by the kingdom of God here, he's talking about heaven itself. So none of us will take the physical body to heaven, because in the resurrection day, we will receive a new body, a spiritual body. Heaven is a spiritual place for spiritual beings. A physical body has no place there. Think about the idea of taking the dirt or the dust of the ground and putting it in heaven, which is a perfectly spiritual place. You see, the dust of the ground has no place in heaven. That is, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so we're given this new resurrection body, the spiritual body, at that great day, and then we're taken to heaven. The Bible says that corruption does not inherit incorruption. Corruption refers to the physical body because your body decays. Your body will return to the dust of the earth. But in heaven, there will be no physical bodies. There will be no earth, that is the dust of the earth. There will be no death. And so Paul says that corruption will not have a part in that incorruptible state in heaven. In verse 51, Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." The word sleep refers to death. Why does he say we shall not all sleep? Because some will be alive when Jesus comes again. Some Christians will be on earth when Jesus returns. The Bible teaches that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But even though all of us will not die because some will be alive when Jesus returns, we shall all be changed. So whether you have passed away and you are dead when Jesus returns, or whether you're alive on the earth when the Lord comes again, you will be changed. You will not live in that physical body ever again. The Bible says in verse 52 that this is what will happen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The word twinkling here, when he talks about the twinkling of an eye, is a very interesting word. That word does not mean blinking. That's not the idea. The idea of the twinkling of the eye comes from a word which means the rapid movement of the eyes. And so, in other words, just as quickly as you're able to glance, to move your eyes very quickly, for instance, if you're looking at some object right now and you just quickly shift your eyes to some other object, that is how fast the eyes can move. That's the idea of the twinkling here. It is the rapid movement, the casting of a glance that takes a very short time. And what the Bible is describing here, of course, is that the resurrection body will be given in an instant. It will be given immediately. And that, he says, will happen at the last trump when the trumpet sounds in that final day. Now, he describes this resurrection body even more when he says the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Notice the word sting in verse 55. He says, O death, where is thy sting? And that word literally referred in Bible times to the sting of some insect like a bee or a scorpion or some other creature of God. And because those were very painful stings and could even cause death, Paul uses that here to illustrate what death is, that death is like a sting. And he explains in verse 56 saying that the sting of death is sin. Death will no longer have that sting. In the beginning, Adam sinned. And because he sinned, he was cut off from the tree of life, and we've been cut off from the tree of life ever since. And so we have all experienced death. And as a result, Jesus is going to overcome that sting, which is sin, in the final day. He says that the strength of sin is the law. Not that the law directly caused sin, but because Adam broke that law and was cut off from the tree of life, and men follow in his footsteps and also break that law and are also cut off from the tree of life, we experience death. But Paul said in verse 57, thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Remember that Paul is talking to these Corinthian Christians who denied the hereafter. They denied the resurrection of the dead. And Paul is telling them in this chapter that if that were true, the Christian life would be the most miserable, depressing, and discouraging life of all. But Paul says, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We do have hope of eternal life, and God promises us the resurrection body that Paul describes in this great chapter.